Hey, what's up, Low Voltage Nation? This is MSP Weekly with Brandon Weber. Tonight, we have a very special episode with Riley Chase, the founder of Hostify. Hostify is a unified cloud hosting platform, and we are so pumped to have him on the show. So let's get after it. Tonight, we have Riley Chase from Hostify. This is MSP Weekly, and I'm super excited because we've been talking about Riley, trying to get him in the Slack channel. Brandon Weber has introduced us to his product, and I'm so excited to hear more about it. So, Brandon, how you doing tonight, man?
Good. How are you, Blake?
I am well. Thank you very much.
Riley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Well, let's start off with saying your company name again. So you're with Hostify. You want to give us a little background on Hostify and what it is when you started it?
Sure. Yeah. So I started Hostify. It was around March or February 2018. And it was just an idea I had that, you know, when I was doing Ubiquiti installations, you have to connect the devices up to a server in order to configure them. And so I thought it'd be best if they connect all the devices from all my customers into one server managed in the cloud. And so that's what I had done for my IT service business. And then I started Hostify to do that for other IT service businesses. So what basically what we do is we set up the servers in the cloud for you, and then we manage the updates and backups and help with support.
Very nice. So did you create the company to fill the void of when Unify had their own service and then just kind of went into the ether and it just disappeared out of nowhere?
So yeah, what kind of happened, it was just like interesting timing is right when I launched Hostify, they had a service that was like pretty reasonable, like pretty affordable, where they would have a cloud server for you that they would manage and stuff. But I wasn't really paying attention to all that. I just happened to launch Hostify right when they actually increased their pricing like 10x. So there was like this period where they had like affordable Unify hosting in the cloud. Then right when I launched Hostify, they like 10x their pricing. So they started charging like per device, and it was like really expensive. And so, yeah, it was just like interesting timing because they did that price jack up. And then it was just, I don't know, like 6 months or a year ago or something that they discontinued the service entirely. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been using Unify for, gosh, 10, 11 years now. And I remember when I first started, it was probably version one or version two of the Unify controller. And it was so new. Everybody was just like, oh, just spin it up, configure your devices, and then walk away. You don't need to keep it running. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And then when you would actually dig into it, it's like, wait, there's a lot you get out of this if you leave this controller running and get the analytics off of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the controller's evolved immensely over those 10, 11 years. And what we're getting out of it now is amazing. I mean, I love it. I do a self-hosted myself, but I am probably going to be looking at your software because I am a one-man band, and not having to worry about it would be beneficial. Not have to worry about the backups, not have to worry about the machine, not have to worry about the updates, not to worry about anything. I kind of like that idea.
Nice, and, yeah.
That's what your service is offering, and it's great. And I mean, I recommend it to everybody in the LVN and even in a lot of the MSP groups on Facebook where guys are saying, well, what do I do? I'm starting to use Unify and these cloud keys suck. And I just want one platform to manage everything.
Exactly. You should have one platform. And it's funny that how I heard about you guys actually is one of my customers, Terry Moon with Computer Pro. He was listening to your show, and I think you brought up Hostify in one of the episodes. And so he told me about it. And then, you know, as soon as I saw, you know, what you guys were about with Low Voltage Nation, everything, that was super cool. So got in touch with you guys. But yeah, we have over 900 customers, and most of them are IT businesses, and a lot of them are small, you know, one man shows or small IT businesses. We do have other customers that are bigger, like banks and hospitals. But like I said, most of them are the IT business owners. A lot of them are small IT business owners. And, yeah, it's just one less thing to worry about. You guys have so much stuff that you guys have to do between cabling and phone systems and security systems and maintaining your Unify server, keeping it up to date, backing it up, and all that is just another thing you got to deal with. So one of the things with Ubiquiti too is they really don't provide any support for their products. So there's no one you can just like call up and be like, you know, I've got this issue with configuration or even like what device should I buy to do this situation. So we kind of help with those things too.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, that's one of the biggest discussions that we have on Slack lately is what direction we all want to look in our networking stacks. Me personally, my networking stack is a Meraki MX at the top, and then it's UniFi switching and UniFi for Wi-Fi, mainly because I hate the USG. I never I don't want to use it anywhere unless it's for like two computers and it's the smallest network ever.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's what I recommend all my customers too. I love their switches. I love their access points. You know, their point-to-point stuff with the UNMS, with the nano stations, that stuff's amazing. But now you should be looking at UniFi building-to-building bridge for point-to-point connections. But yeah, the USG is the one, you know, weak part of the product or the product line. It's a really, really weak router. You might still use it if you just need like, you know, really simple, you know, DHCP and like connect people to the internet. That's about it. But yeah, I think that's a really great stack with the Meraki at the top. And, you know, something that I also call Hostify sometimes is I call it like the poor man's Meraki, because with Meraki, you really get like amazing support. They keep stuff updated for you and you have someone to call and everything. And so, the downside of Ubiquiti is you don't have anyone to call and you don't get great support. You have to do it all on your own. So we kind of bridge the gap with that, where we'll take care of the software and we'll be here when you need help.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what some of us have been trying to do in the Low Voltage Nation, is kind of being that support lifeline to these guys that need help with UniFi, need help with the Edge Siri stuff and the point to points and all that. And I mean, I know it's a smaller part of the business, but you also do UNMS cloud hosting. And that's one thing that I've been recommending to a lot of people also, because a lot of guys are saying, well, I have a handful of point-to-points. What do I do with them? How do I make sure that the firmwares are updated and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, a lot of them are just low voltage installers. They don't want to have to go spin up a Docker instance, get this all going. They just want something that they can push out and it's there and they're working. And I've sent a lot of people your way for that exact reason, that you did all the legwork. They just have to go in and manage their devices. And the other big thing, I was listening to the interview you did with Tom Lawrence. You dissected that Mongo database that UniFi uses, and you know that thing inside and out, don't you?
Yeah, that's one thing with UniFi is when you do, like, you know, we have people coming from all different levels. So, I mean, there's the level where, like, people do installations on their laptop, they walk away, and then they can't access devices unless they bring that laptop back. So we have some IT businesses that have, like, they're coming to us with a shared laptop that they've been passing around to the technicians to go take to the sites when they need to change something. And so, you know, we have different levels. But once you get, you know, Cloud Key would be probably better than that, but the Cloud Keys have their own issues. So some of our customers have the Cloud Keys, they move to us, and then some have the server and the cloud. But no matter what you do, Mongo becomes an issue. You know, once you get to around 100 devices, say you're running your own server on the cloud, which is what you should be doing. Once you get to around 100 devices, it does start to like crash. No matter how much hardware you throw at it, throw 2 gigs, 4 gigs, 8 gigs of RAM, it doesn't matter because the Mongo database is so messed up. So like you have to actually, you know, follow this one guide on how to tune your controller for a high device count. There's a KB article. You have to make some changes, basically give more RAM to Java because the Java process only uses 1 gig of RAM. So you have to give it more RAM. And it won't, you know, until you give it more RAM, it's not going to use more RAM. So even if you upgrade the server, it doesn't help. So there's certain things that like we've had to become like, you know, learn about. And so we take care of that for you. But yeah, we see people get stuck a lot around 100 devices because they need to make some changes to the database and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why I might be giving you a call moving in your direction, because right now I got probably about 300 plus devices that I'm supporting. I mean, I have one car dealership alone that has 25 devices between access points and switches, mostly because they won't let me do any wiring. So I have a lot of 8-port switches laying around that are all the UniFi switches. And that adds up really quick, but that's just one of my car dealerships. I have a handful of car dealerships that have 10, 15 access points laid out because we do full inside and full outside coverage.
Nice.
And, yeah. So that adds up real quick.
Yeah. With 300 devices, yeah, if it's running smooth, it's good. But, you know, sometimes you'll have to prune the database or there's different things you run into. I think updating is the biggest thing, though, is like every time an update comes out, typically like once a month a new Unify update comes out. And so we'll go and read the forums and we'll wait and see what the feedback is and stuff like that. And, it's kind of a pain to keep updating it. And because you have to be real careful with the updates, you can't just trust that the latest stable release is going to actually be stable. You have to kind of like watch the forums and stuff. So we take care of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically the Microsoft of the networking world sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right. I think I'm still chasing an LLDP issue on the edge switches that just causes them to lock up out of nowhere. Been chasing that one for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, one of the nice things is about like what we have is we have like over 50,000 Ubiquiti devices connected to our servers. And so if there's a firmware bug or there's some kind of configuration thing that's weird or what, like we've kind of have like a long, like mental list of all these weird things that we know how to fix. And like, if there's a firmware issue, we're usually like the first ones to know about it.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I mean, that's again, another reason why I recommend everybody for you guys, because we don't have to worry about sifting through the forums, hoping somebody responds. Hopefully somebody from Unify comes through and says, oh, it's this. Oh, it's that.
Right. Yeah.
You're already on top of it for your customers.
Yeah. And then going back to the UNMS side of the business, like you were talking about earlier. It's a lot smaller part of our business. So like I said, we have like 900 servers. So like 800 or so are Unify and about 100 are UNMS. And, we have a lot of IT service business customers that they get the UNMS server just for those point-to-point connections. Because like as an IT service business, you know, pretty much the only reason you'd use UNMS is for like some nanostation locos that you've done some building-to-building bridges with. But now we're kind of steering our customers to use the new Unify building-to-building product, which is a lot more expensive. It's like $500 instead of like you can get two nanostation locos for like $100. But it is better throughput. But the main thing is like you can manage everything from Unify. I think that's great that they made a point-to-point product for Unify so that you don't have to have two different servers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got probably 35, 40 point-to-point devices across all of our different customers. Nice. We have one marina with multiple outbuildings, and the one that I'm thinking of off the top of my head, they decided that a 1.5-inch conduit was enough to run to the building. And when they decided to put networking out there, that pipe was completely full and we couldn't pull anything else through it.
Oh, man. So that became a wireless cable.
Did it ever. And then the camera company came in. I did nanobeams for that one.
Nanobeams? Cool.
I can't remember what, I think it was the Gen 1 model. And the one glitch they had a chip issue with those where they would just drop their network connection out of nowhere.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. And they apparently recalled everything, but somehow I got two of them a month or two after the recall. And that was a fun bug to chase down. But hey, after I replaced them with Gen 2, haven't had an issue since.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah, so that was a hardware one. They couldn't push a firmware update out for that, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a bad... It was the chip on board that was the issue.
Oh, man.
They recalled a lot of those devices because of that issue.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But, I mean, you can do some interesting things with the point-to-points. I have a farm that my mother works at, and Spectrum wanted $25,000 to bring coax internet up to their building just because of where they're located. And he owned a convenience store right on the main road. And I just took a public IP off of that, dropped their own router in, and I shoot their internet up to the building. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, they just pay $75 for splitting the internet connection, and we're done.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm actually talking to you on a point-to-point right now. We live out in the woods, and we're off like a half-mile long dirt road, and I've got a dish that goes out to a cell tower about a mile away.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest people that you could look at for that type of setup is the DJ Deadmau5. He has.
Oh, really? I've seen some stuff of his pictures of his place with Unify stuff in it.
Yeah. So he has air fiber and he's got a symmetric 2 gig connection going into his house.
Nice.
He used to live downtown Toronto and then moved into the sticks.
Oh, okay.
more between like Niagara Falls and Toronto now. So he's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's got a 2 gig symmetric connection going into his house, and
that's
he
rad.
Streams on Twitch and does everything and has no issues. So, I mean, their hardware is amazing.
Yeah.
They're definitely filling a void that we needed for good quality, not too crazy expensive point to point devices, Wi-Fi networking, all that. Now, if only they could fix the router side and the firewall side. I mean,
yeah, we're still hoping. There's actually a new one. If you look up the UXG, there's a new line coming out. They're going to come out with a UXG and a UXG Pro, and the hardware on it's going to match the UDM and the UDM Pro. But the difference is going to be that you can adopt it to a central controller like Hostify or your own cloud server, whereas the UDM, UDM Pro, you can't do that. So I'm looking forward to that, but they really need to pick it up on the features with the USG.
I mean, nowadays with the threat landscape that's out there, they need to become a UTM. They can't just say, hey, look, we can do routing and we can do firewall. That's it. They need more.
The problem with that, though, is that that's going to require them to become a subscription business, because I don't think you can have a UTM without customers paying you money to maintain security, security threats and all that. So I just don't see them doing that, because they're such a product company and they just can't. That's the reason why they're getting out of the Unify Cloud, is they just can't wrap their head around being a service business. I feel like they have to be product everything.
Right. And I mean, it's interesting with them. They seem to dip their toes in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've seen in the forums they're looking at access control. They had that weird necklace video camera a few years back.
Yep. And then, they're expanding Protect. They had the EOT controller for a while, but now they've renamed it. It was like the Unify LED controller. And then now it looks like they're just merging everything into Access. As far as like their alarm doorbell camera, they just went to the early access store and stuff like that. So yeah, they're doing a lot of different things. And then they've got the phone system that they're making, which is, I think, is a terrible idea.
All I heard was terrible things about that phone years ago. I never ordered one, but I followed Chris from Crosstalk Solutions, and he was not a fan of that phone.
Yeah, the Unify VoIP phones were very bad. And then now they're making a new system, though, called Unify Talk. I think it's not released yet, so I probably shouldn't be talking about it. But so they're making a new system called Unify Talk, which is like a phone system that you can connect your Unify phones to. But yeah, I think they should probably focus more on like improving the USG and stuff. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, how many different offerings do we have nowadays for VoIP? I don't know if they need to dip their toe in that venture, too. You have FreePBX, GrandStream, 3CX. I mean, there's so many offerings out there. We don't need another one.
Yeah.
I mean, all those open source offerings and closed source offerings have almost killed off all the proprietary systems. We don't need another person to throw their hat in the ring and say, hey, look what I can do. But I'm proprietary. You can only use my phones.
Yeah. I mean, if they made a solid phone that was interoperable with other systems like FreePBX, 3CX, and then they made it where you could manage the firmware and the configuration of the phone essentially, I think that would be cool. That's something that I think would be cool. I'm not sure if there's any other system out there that does that, like Yalink or something, where you can just plug a phone in, it connects up to a controller, you essentially manage the firmware and the configuration of the phone like you do with a Unify switch or access point. I think that'd be pretty neat.
I can do that with 3CX, so I can push all my firmware updates. You can push your configs right from the 3CX controller.
Oh, it makes sense to have that in the controller. And I think now that I said that, FreePBX has the endpoint management module, the pro, you have to pay for it, commercial module that you can manage the phones. Can you manage the firmware with that module? Have you seen that module before?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's already been done. So there's really nothing to add to that. I don't see how you can improve that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've used FreePBX. We're now a 3CX shop, and I can tell you that.
Why did you make that switch?
It's much better software. It's easier to use. Their soft phone app is a million times better.
Oh, that's important. That's really important.
Yeah. Their Android and iOS app is night and day better. You have video conferencing built into it. It takes 10 minutes to spin it up in the cloud.
Yeah. And then, so what's the licensing on that? You have to pay per phone, or how's that
work? Have to pay per simultaneous call. So it's either 4, oh, 8, okay. 16. It goes in those type of denominations, but you have support with it.
Do you host it yourself?
Yeah, I do. I have it on Google Compute.
Cool.
But it's just been night and day better. I had a doctor's office that got a Sangoma free PBX box and then the Sangoma phones from a third party, and it was just nothing but issues.
Hmm. Have you used Fusion PBX before? You ever heard of that one?
I've heard of it. I've never used it.
So it's like it's open source as well, multi-tenant. But I think the problem with that is the problem for me with the free PBX and Fusion PBX, like you said, the apps are like so important these days. Phones don't even matter. It's all about the apps. And then being able to do like SMS, and customers have a lot of like new requirements, it seems like, in the last few years, where they want to do like SMS from their business lines and stuff that you wouldn't normally do before. And they're getting used to that because of, you know, I use 8x8 for my business, but yeah, just the apps are really important.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 3CX is about to come out with a new iOS app, which is going to be huge. But you're right. I mean, SMS is a huge thing with a lot of my customers. I had a car dealership that recently moved to Jive for that exact reason, because all the salespeople have their own DIDs, but they were never textable because it was just a MyTel system that they had internally.
Yeah.
And they were giving out their cell phone numbers, and it was becoming a nightmare because as the business owner, you don't really want your employees to just give out their personal cell phone, because when that person leaves the car dealership, lost all those customers.
Exactly.
So now you can kind of control that. They're only handing out their DID that you guys own. So when Joe salesman leaves and Tom salesman comes in, they retain all those customers.
Yep.
So that has been a huge factor for a lot of our customers, is having the SMS. But being able to answer your phone from anywhere in the world, especially right now, I mean, the fact that I can take a phone and just drop it here on my desk at home, and now I'm connected to our phone system, has been awesome. We have a retail computer store still, and I'm able to help my father out because he's still running the retail store and he's been oddly busier than ever. I can still handle the phones for him from here and take that burden off of him. And it's been great. And the car dealership that I'm speaking of, they're still selling cars. It's all virtual selling, basically. So somebody calls in, makes an appointment, they do it all virtual, but they were able to send a couple reps home, send the phones home with them, and they're answering phone calls like they're inside the dealership.
Perfect. Yeah. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'm wondering if there's going to be a huge shift when things start going back to normal of people being like, oh gosh, we really need to rethink things. We can't have these on-prem digital systems anymore where all we can do is forward to our cell phones and it just becomes a cumbersome mess. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think there's going to be a big push to VoIP and to cloud-hosted VoIP after this is all said and done.
Definitely.
But so with your customer base, you said you have about 900 customers. Are they mostly North America? Are you covering the whole world?
Yeah, we're literally covering the whole world. We have customers on 6 of the 7 continents. But most of our customers, maybe less than half of our customers actually are in the U.S. We have a lot of customers in English-speaking European countries. And then, Australia is another one that we have a lot of customers there. But we use Vulture for our infrastructure. So like similar to AWS, they take care of the servers and the network and all the data centers. And so they actually have a bunch of different data centers that we can choose from. I think they have 16 different data centers. So we're actually able to, for our customers in Australia, we have their servers in Sydney, and our customers in the UK, we have their servers in London. And so we're able to move servers around really easily to serve the whole world pretty much. And we even have customers that don't even speak English. We'll be doing a live chat and using Google Translate to help them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've dabbled with Vulture a little bit when I was dabbing in free PBX hosted. I mean, it's a great service. My UNMS controller right now is on DigitalOcean, and
Oh, cool. That's, yeah. I use DigitalOcean as well. For, we use DigitalOcean Spaces, which it's like S3. So for people that are listening, it's just a place where you can dump backups is what we use it for. But you can dump files there really cheaply. So yeah, we use DigitalOcean. I use that for my web servers. And yeah, the reason I stumbled across Vultr actually was when I was doing a free PBX install a couple of years ago. And I realized that the best way to install free PBX is using the ISO file, but DigitalOcean at the time, they support it now, but at the time Vultr supported creating a server from an ISO and DigitalOcean didn't. And so that's how I started on Vultr and I just kept with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like I said, I was dabbling in it for a little while and yeah, it was okay. I can tell you that 3CX makes it a million times easier and a million times better when you have cloud hosted, because doing a session border controller is just so simple. Nice. But yeah, I mean, I was very impressed with Vultr. I've done some AWS, but I really like DigitalOcean and Vultr a lot better than AWS.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, AWS is very expensive, very complicated. And, yeah. You know, unless you have the need for complication, you know, if you can get away with just having, you know, the DigitalOcean is, you know, just copying AWS's footsteps. So they're just lagging behind in like the amount of things you can do. And then, you know, Vultr is pretty much on par with DigitalOcean. But yeah, Vultr is actually a little bit behind DigitalOcean on some of the features. But yeah, I think it's just so much better. It's so much simpler and cheaper.
Cleaner dashboards too.
Yeah, it's just really intuitive. It's just AWS is very like, I need to sit down and read the manual to figure out how to create a server.
I feel like Google Compute and AWS just looked at each other and said, hey, how can we make this super complicated and confuse the heck out of people? Oh, we'll offer 4,000 different services and put it in 7,000 different places and just hope people figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. With great flexibility comes great complication.
Right. Right. So you touched on this earlier. Most of your customers are MSPs and IT service providers. Do you have any internal IT shops that are using you as their hosting service?
Yeah, we do have IT departments. I think that's what you mean. We have, a lot of companies. We have banks, hospitals, some brands that you would, you know, I won't name drop them, but some brands that you would know that use our service for their internal IT department.
Nice. So what hardware stack do you guys use to host everything and manage everything?
So yeah, our hardware stack is really just, Vultr. We have over 900 servers there. We pay them like $70,000 a year for servers, which is like, just blows my mind. So yeah, that's really our hardware stack. And then, it's all really, Python is a big part of it. All the Python scripts that I've written. So our website is actually, just a WordPress website with some plugins that, do like the Stripe integration and checkout. And so once you make a purchase, my Python script that I wrote, it runs and it sees that you made a purchase. It goes out, creates a server for you, installs Unify on it, gets the login information, and puts it in your user dashboard so you can log into your server. And then we have a bunch of other Python scripts that I wrote that each night go to all the servers and take backups off of them and put them onto DigitalOcean Spaces. So we have offsite backups. We do SSL installations. We have scripts for that. And there's a whole bunch of different scripts that we have for monitoring the servers. We actually use Zabbix. Have you ever heard of that?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, Zabbix is an open source monitoring tool. And so we have a really cool integrations with Zabbix where it'll monitor SSL certificates, for example, and tell us, you know, this cert's going to expire soon or something like that. If it, you know, we have scripts that automatically renew SSL certs. We use Let's Encrypt, but every once in a while, something slips through all of our automation cracks and Zabbix alerts us if backups are failing or if an SSL is about to expire and all these different things.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't touch on this, but it's just you and one other guy supporting everything. And now I can understand how you're able to run so lean with that many hosts that you're controlling.
Yeah, it is. It's really lean. It's just, like you said, it's myself and one other full-time employee, Safwan. And, Safwan, he actually used to work for Ubiquity. So he's, for a few years, he worked as a support engineer at Ubiquity. And somehow I convinced him to come work for Hostify at this little tiny startup when it was just one person. And so now it's the two of us and he does an amazing job. He pretty much handles all the day-to-day support issues that go on. So, you know, common support issues are like people say, like, you know, I can't connect my device to my server. And so he helps them do like a firmware upgrade and go through troubleshooting steps. And, but we have all range of support issues from, you know, cause we try to help with everything. So whether it's a network configuration issue, or you're trying to figure out which product should you buy for this certain setup that you want to do. And so, yeah, and with over 900 customers, and then we also have 2000, free plan users that signed up when we used to have a free plan. And that was basically a shared Unify server where it created a site for each person on the free plan. So, but yeah, so he handles the support side of the business. Yeah, like I said, pretty much does all the day-to-day support stuff. And I'm always working on, you know, improving our processes, our platform, and, you know, marketing, quote unquote, when I have time to make a Twitter post and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's huge. You're filling the void that everybody complains about with Unify. Well, Ubiquity in general, that there's no support. There's just the forms.
Yeah, exactly. That's really the biggest thing is like, you know, it's not just a server for you that we mark up or something. It's like, you know, we're here to help you and, you know, any range of issue you have with Ubiquity. And by doing that, like our knowledge of Ubiquity's products and the little weird little firmware bugs and all this stuff, our knowledge just keeps growing and growing from like all of the support things we do each day. So it kind of works for both of us.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I mean, that's a huge selling point for your service, just the fact that you have actual support. And I mean, it gets a little toxic on the forums. It gets a little toxic on the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
So having a company that's going to stand there and help you with whatever you need is awesome. And I love that. And I hope you guys just keep growing and growing and growing. I mean, this is the service that we needed. This is a service that I wish Ubiquity had. I mean, I understand why they don't want to do it.
I appreciate it.
I know they had that elite service at one point in time.
Right. I've heard bad things about that too. And yeah, it's just like, hey, if Ubiquity wants to do this, like, you know, we'll find something else to do. But until then, you know, everybody keeps saying, well, what, aren't you worried that Ubiquity is going to just, you know, they have their $1 billion company. They could easily like create a better cloud service, provide better support, but it's just not in their game plan. So I'm not worried about it. But if they do it, great. I'll go, if they can do it better than us, great. I'll go to find something else to do. There's a lot of other things to do in the world, but yeah, as long as they're not doing it, we'll be here helping people with support and managing their servers for them.
Oh, that's awesome. So one thing we ask everybody, what is the one device you can't leave your home or your office without?
Oh, that's an easy one. My iPhone, and I have an application on it called Termius. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but you've got to get this SSH client called Termius. It's absolutely amazing. You know, we're managing 900 servers. I get an alert on my iPhone that something's wrong with the server, and I can pull up Termius, and I have these scripts that are saved in it to run different commands. So if I want to create an admin on a server to log into it, I click a button to run a script. If I want to prune a database, I click a button. I have all these scripts saved of like common stuff we would do on our servers. And I mean, I can run my whole business between that and my Intercom app, which is our live chat ticket system app. Yeah, I can run my whole business, and I have 8x8. That's our phone system app. So it's amazing what you can do on the smartphone for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been on top of mountains before having to reboot devices just because I have my phone with me, and it's been great. I mean, yeah. Before I had kids, I would ski often. Like I'd go out west, go to Whistler and stuff like that. And the mountains nowadays are covered with cell towers, so you don't have to worry about not having a connection. And if I have my phone, I can manage 90% of my business just from my phone.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. I'm 34, but I've been doing this most of my life because my father's had a computer store since I was a baby. And just seeing how things have evolved in the past 34 years is astonishing. And seeing what we can do nowadays is crazy. I mean, I started when we had Server 2000, Server 2003. And yeah, I just love it. And I love the direction everything's going. And I can't wait to see what we have down the road.
Absolutely.
So I know you're new to the Low Voltage Nation, but we have this saying called the gold standard, and it's basically how do we go to our customers and give them top-notch service, install top-notch products. How do you give your clients the gold standard? What do you guys do?
Yeah, like I said, you know, we have over 900 customers, but we try to treat every customer like they're our only customer, the most important customer. And for me, that really means just, you know, we're really quick with support and, you know, getting back to people. We're on top of it every day and just going above and beyond. You know, something we did recently is, you know, during the pandemic, I was trying to think of, you know, what's something that we can do to help. And there's not a lot of stuff that, you know, that we could do, like I could think of, but one thing that we could do to help is like a lot of people are trying to set up Ubiquiti VPN connections to help people work from home. So what I did is I posted out that, you know, we're like during the pandemic, we're going to help for free. Anybody that has a Ubiquiti VPN issue, hit us up on live chat. We'll help. So we've helped a lot of people actually that, and so that's a great way to, help someone for free. And then, you know, you don't have to ask anything of them, but they just automatically learn that you're like a really helpful person. And if they ever need Unify hosting, or if they ever know someone that needs it, then they're going to think of you. So, you know, just going above and beyond and doing stuff without expecting something in return.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can say you guys have a great reputation in a lot of the MSP groups on Facebook. Before I can even bring you up, there's a lot of other providers that are bringing you guys up. And I mean, it's crazy how many people use Unify, and having a service like yours is great. And I love it. And I can't wait to check out your services and probably move my server to you guys.
That's great. Thanks. Yeah. And, you know, it really has just spread by word of mouth. You know, our customers are our best, you know, marketers and our salespeople for us. So I really appreciate it. Every time, you know, one of our customers recommends this to somebody, it's great.
Yeah. So one thing I ask everybody that comes on the podcast, where do you see the industry going in about 5 years?
Yeah. So I'm not sure like the MSP industry, but I was just thinking about like, you know, more of in the network engineer mindset, but like, I just think, probably the MSP industry too, just a lot more automation, a lot more, I think everybody needs to learn how to program as an MSP. It's so valuable if you know how to program, cause you have so many systems and the guys that know how to program are able to like glue things together, automate things, systemize. And, you know, I think, a lot more automation and networks in general are becoming, just like, program like so you can just automate so much with the platform like Unify, where you can just hit all your devices on an API and there's so much you can do with that. So I think just a lot more automation and programming, it's going to be the future.
Oh yeah, I mean every day I'm using my Datto RMM, and the big thing is the automation that we have in that. I don't have to touch every machine to do these updates or do these Windows updates. It's just all taken care of, and that's huge. I don't need to have 10 people behind me supporting all of our customers. I mean, we're supporting about 400 devices, and it's just me. I mean, yeah, I have my father, wow, but he's running our retail store, and he has different ventures separate from the MSP side. And yeah, having that automation has been huge. And you're right. I mean, I have some friends that work for MSPs in town, and one of them is a Python genius, and he automates everything. I mean, a few years ago, he wrote a script to basically auto-configure an edge router because he was bored.
That's cool.
But you give it like four pieces of information and it goes through and does the whole configuration on the edge router.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, how do you kind of focus and keep control of the ever-changing landscape of the IT world? I know right now you're mostly just a Ubiquiti house, but just how do you keep up with everything in general?
Yeah, so I don't keep up with everything. I'm really narrow focused on just what I need to keep up with, which is you know, the latest changes with Ubiquiti and Unify stuff. And I just think, you know, you can't keep up with everything. And so I think, you know, you have to pick what you want to keep up on. And for me, it's the Ubiquiti stuff. So how I keep up on that is, and also like what the MSP landscape looks like and how it's evolving. So for me, that's, you know, I'm plugged into, you know, Low Voltage now, be part of the Slack channel. And I'm plugged into some great groups on Facebook, in particular, the IT business owners group. group. Yeah. And yeah, just groups like that. Reddit's a great resource for information that's coming out that's, you know, that most people aren't going to see for, you know, like the latest and greatest is you see that on Reddit a lot. And but actually my customers have been my best resource of just watching what they're doing and what they're telling me. And usually my customers are coming to me, you know, before I even find something out about a new product that came out or, you know, something that's coming up or what their thoughts are, the next direction Ubiquity is going to take or, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's really coming from, you know, my customers and people I know.
No, that's awesome. I mean, the Unify and the Edge series and all their point to points, UNMS, everything changes so quickly. You almost have to be hyper focused on it, doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And the thing with Ubiquity is you just never know what they're going to do next. Like when they came out with the UDM, everyone was telling me like, are you worried? Like you're not going to have a business anymore because they're going to just do products where they run the controller. And I was just like, you know, I don't think so, but we'll see. And then now they're coming out with the UXG, which is, it is adaptable to the controller. So they just kind of went on this stint where they're like going to, I think Ubiquity has like two huge audiences and it's consumers versus MSPs. And they keep making stuff for consumers like the UDM, and then they make stuff for the MSPs like the UXG, the new USG update. It's just like, but it's kind of like this battle between what they want to be. Same with that Front Row thing, like a really consumer product, and they're just not sure if they're a consumer brand or a quote unquote enterprise brand. So I feel like they're always walking that line.
Right. And I mean, the UDM Pro leaves a lot to be hoping for. I don't know if you've seen him post yet, but Ray from Libertas, he is not a fan of the UDM Pro. We were talking about it the other day. Bricked his like 7 times.
Oh, I've heard of horror stories. Yeah, I think it just got off to a bad start with the firmware and stuff. And they're trying to, the reason is because they've like split the software branches. So the stuff that runs on the UDM isn't even your normal Unify. It's like its own OS. It's like, so they've kind of like created this whole new OS that they have to maintain. I think it's just kind of crazy. But yeah. I mean, I think they're cool devices, but the problem is, you know, I'd stick a UDM Pro in at my house, but I'm not gonna, if you're an MSP, there's no way you should think about, maybe I should deploy 20 of these or 100 of these. There's just no way you want to be able to manage more than one or two of them and do updates. It's just a cloud key, you know, you don't want to go back to the cloud key model of decentralization. It's not scalable.
Yeah. I mean, at times it almost seems like, especially in the past few years, that Ubiquity just doesn't know what they want to be when they get older.
Yeah, that's what I was saying with, I feel like they're on this line of like, do they want to please the consumer audience, which is like the, you know, the tech people installing at their houses, or do they want to please the MSPs?
Right, because when they started, it was mostly just point-to-points and like, we're going to focus on the WISP market.
Right, that's their main market, yeah.
And then they got into that, though.
Unify, yeah. If you look at their, you know, because they're a publicly traded company, you know, they're making more money on Unify now. But yeah, like you said, they start off just with the WISPs, and then Unify just blew up. And so now it's all, you know, Unify is a bigger part of their business.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing amazing things. I know they've acquired a few different people. They acquired a home automation guy. My understanding is they acquired a guy from PF Sense. And that's why I'm wondering why they don't do more UTM style stuff in the USGs.
Right. Yeah. I'm excited about that, but it hasn't turned out so far.
Right. Right. I mean, they've tried to do IDS, they've tried to do IPS, but they just can't put enough hardware in the devices to be able to handle all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. That's why the UXG is going to come out with the same hardware as the UDM, which is supposed to be able to handle that, the new features. Cause when they made the USG, they didn't have those features. And so they made features that don't work on the hardware that already existed. So yeah. Right. So, but yeah, the UXG is supposed to solve those problems with IDS and IPS. And when you turn VPN on, then your WAN speed is, you know, so all this stuff where you turn it on and then the WAN speed goes down because it can't process it fast enough. And all, you know, so right. Yeah, it's a big issue.
Yeah. I mean, when they do it right, they do it right. But I just, yeah. I wish I they would focus on, right. I wish they would focus on just their core products and stop trying to do everything. I mean, you look at the early access store and you're just scratching your head sometimes.
Like, what is this?
Yeah. Why are we doing this? Yeah. I mean, why are we making a rack with our own branding on it? I don't understand that one.
Yeah. What do you think of their cameras? Are you a Unify camera guy or no?
I've used them. I've used them since Gen 1. They do an amazing job. I just wish there was more versatility. I hate the dome camera. I think it's the biggest piece of garbage in the world.
Why do you not like the dome camera?
I just don't like the form factor of it. I don't like how it mounts. I come from the age of here's a standard dome camera, not this weird wall mount thing that has a camera sticking out of it.
I get mixed opinions on whether MSPs should use Unify Protect or not. And, you know, right now with the state of things being where you can't build your own Protect server, so you're limited to their hardware, which is the CK or the CloudKey Gen 2 Plus, and you can replace the hard drive up to a 5 terabyte, but you really can't connect more than like 10 cameras or like, you know, if you want to do a 50 camera install, you'd have to, I have some customers that did a 50 camera install. They bought 2 different CloudKeys and split the cameras between each of them, which I think is just terrible. But you know, stuff like that. They're supposed to be coming out with a new NVR that's a four bay. I don't know if they've released it yet, but you know, the 4 bay, and so you'll be able to do up to 50 cameras that set on HD quality. But yeah, I think also the problem with the cameras too is that people complain that they're not open compatible, like ONVIF. So you can't. So you can't. You can't put them on other NVRs. So I think that's kind of a bummer. So I don't know what if some of my customers use different vendors. So I was just curious which one, if you like them or you have a different vendor you like.
No, I've like I said, I've used Ubiquiti since Gen 1, but one of my biggest issues with it was they basically made Gen 1 inoperable. Kind of like the same thing they did with the older access points.
Oh, is it end of life? You can't connect it to Protect?
Yep. Well, not even that. It was about 3 or 4 years ago. They went to a new version of just the overall video software, and the cameras just didn't work anymore.
Oh man.
And it was quite frustrating. And then there was the whole thing they did about 6 months ago where if you had Unify Video, they embedded advertisements for Unify Protect in it.
Yeah, so I remember that. Running, yeah, Tom Moore did a video on that. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's kind of just sketchy. You don't do that. I understand you have your own appliance, you want to sell that. Don't go to your core customers who've deployed hundreds of cameras and say, hey guys, we have this nice product called Unify Protect. You should probably use that instead.
Yeah, now they did roll that back in the next update after that because they got so much feedback on that.
Right.
Stuff like that. I mean, you never know when they're going to, kill off a product. I wish they had better like end of life where they would tell you ahead of time before they do stuff like that. But I get a lot of complaints about them killing off the UAPs. And I mean, they're not totally killed off. You put them on the old version of Unify, right. I guess. But I mean, they did, those were really long lasting. I mean, they had a good run, you know? So,
I mean, I had ones deployed for 7.5 years. It was time for them to be replaced.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is like, they had a good run. I think people shouldn't be too mad about them killing off support for those.
Right. You know, and I mean, you're very new to the Low Voltage Nation Slack, but you'll learn that we have a lot of security guys in there and they're very indifferent about Unify Protect. It's a good product. It has a good dashboard, but there's lots of shortcomings with it.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I hear is, you know, maybe it's good for small deployments, but it's also a challenge to manage at scale too. Same problem with the CloudKey, and you only have access through the cloud portal, which sometimes isn't online. So it's interesting. One thing I have heard from security guys, one security guy that signed up for Hostify recently, he said he loves the Unify switches because he plugs his cameras into a Unify switch for PoE, and then he's able to power cycle cameras that get jammed up from the Unify switch. He said that feature, he hasn't seen it in any of his NVR switches. They come with PoE switches, but you can't remotely control them without rebooting the entire switch or something like that. You can reboot individual cameras from the Unify switch. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, I've had to do that a handful of times, or like I've had issues with the outdoor access points lately where they just go offline, and being able to power cycle the single port just by going on my phone is huge. That's awesome. A lifesaver.
Yeah, he was saying how I need to go to ISC West. I think they canceled it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they canceled it. Yes. It's already passed a long time ago, but it got canceled due to COVID. But he was saying, you know, I should go to ISC West and set up a booth for security guys to show them how they can turn their cameras off with the Unify switch remotely. I thought that was a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, you just kind of roam around the Slack. I mean, we have a lot of security integrators that are using Unify, and you would learn a lot from the security side. I mean, these guys do everything and they're doing huge deployments. I learn stuff every day. I mean, some camera work, but some of the technology that these guys are showing is amazing. And definitely Unify is lagging behind it. I kind of look at Unify as it's a nice consumer deployment. It's better than what you can buy at Costco by a long shot, but it's nowhere near what the guys in the low voltage nation are using.
And you're talking about specifically Unify Protect.
Yeah.
Their network equipment's, you know, it's better, good, but you know, other than the USG, but yeah, the Protect stuff, I would install it at my house, but yeah, I'll definitely take a look at what vendors they've got and stuff. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Feel free to ask questions. Guys will jump on them in 2 seconds and start answering any questions you have on the security side or access control or phones or anything. Basically, if it needs a wire to be plugged in, there's a guy in our group that has done it and has done it in a large scale.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
Blake, a great group. Yeah. Blake's been cultivating an amazing group of the Low Voltage Nation. And it's crazy to think he started this only 10 months ago and how big it's grown since then.
Yeah, it's an awesome group. As soon as I saw the name, I already loved it.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks so much for getting on the podcast with us. Where can people learn more about Hostify?
Cool. Yeah. Check us out. Hostify.net or .com. We've got the .com at forge.net till we make the migration. But yeah, Hostify.net. You can click the schedule demo button. I'll meet one-on-one with you to talk about Unify stuff and you know, how centrally managing it with Hostify might be a good idea, or just I like to bullshit about Ubiquity stuff. So just book a meeting with me anytime. And then I'm most active on, as far as social media goes, I'm most active on LinkedIn, I'd say. You can find me Riley Chase, R-E-I-L-L-Y, and Twitter. I'm @_rchase_.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for getting on. We're really excited to have you in the Slack now. Instead of just recommending people to Hostify, I can now just tag you and say, here, talk to Riley. He can answer any questions you have.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I'm always available for talking about Ubiquity stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brandon. It's good talking to you.
You too. Thanks. Bye.